Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's HopeCast. My friend Jen Houston has joined us, as she does most every week. Jen, thank you again for A, your presence, and B, your insights.
Oh, my goodness. It's always an honor being here.
Well, here is what I want to do today, kind of part one, and then next week, a part two. I am being deluged with questions right now about Vladimir Putin, about Israel, about the Ukraine, about the United States' place in biblical prophecy, and other questions like that. So I thought we would spend this week and next week looking at some of these questions. And just by the way, are you first personally asking these questions? And secondly, are you hearing these kinds of questions being asked to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very curious about what is going on. What is going on in light of biblical prophecy and what we know? And I'm so glad that I have access to David Chadwick to help answer these questions. But well, yes, there are a lot of them.
I'll try my best. I don't have all of the answers to all of the questions, but I do think I have some insights because I've been giving this a lot of thought and study. So what would be a question you would start out with right now?
Well, because I have heard your end times teaching, I'm now equipped with these words like Og, you know, that I wasn't aware of before. But really, in light of what's going on in Russia specifically, how would you answer the question, is Putin the Og of Ezekiel 38?
Well, Ezekiel 38 is a prime place of prophecy in the Bible, and it predicts in the end times that there will be a group of nations that will come against Israel. And two terms that are used in Ezekiel 38 are Og and Magog. Og seems to be the title, kind of a prince or leader, if you will, of a place in the world called Magog. And if you look at other terms used in Ezekiel 38 to describe other nations that are surrounding Magog, it includes things like Tubal and Meshech and other countries as well, which seem to be nations like Turkey and Syria and other places. So the question that you're asking is, this prince who will be overseer of what is present-day Russia, called in Ezekiel 38, interestingly, Rosh, is he the leader, Putin, of this new coalition of Russian nations that are one day going to come against Israel? And the answer is, we don't really know for sure. I guess it's fascinating to watch how it will all play out. But it is interesting to note that Putin has threatened nuclear weaponry. As you read in Ezekiel 38 and 39 about the final conflict where God intervenes on Israel's behalf and wins the war for them, there is some kind of huge blast that involves fire and burning, which seems to suggest some kind of nuclear power that is unleashed at that point. We do have to at least ask the question, since World War II, this is the only time a leader in the world has ever threatened to use nuclear arsenals upon his enemies. Again, no one's done that previously since Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Now we have an actual leader of the world who has made that threat.
Wow. Well, even as a believer, I find so much hope in God said this stuff is going to happen, and we can rest assured that he's got it.
Absolutely. And what we need to realize about Vladimir Putin is two things, I think. First of all, he's almost 70 years of age. He's no spring chicken. And therefore, anything he does is going to happen within probably the next 10 years, maybe 15 years at the most, because he's not going to be the prince, the leader, the prime minister, or whatever of Russia forever. There is some thought that Israel is 74 years of age since it was birthed on May the 14th, 1948. And Jesus said that this generation will see all of these things happen before Jesus returns. Well, this generation is the generation that's living during these times that become more intense, more frequent as we look for the second coming of Jesus. Well, if Israel has existed 74 years, a generation generally in the Bible is somewhere around 70 to 80, maybe 90 years of age. That is what is talked about by Moses and David themselves. So if that's the case, and let's just choose the number 80 years as a generation, and Israel's been in existence for 74 years, that's why some who are really into prophecy say this has got to happen within the next six or so years. And if Putin is 70 years of age, he's going to want to make this happen as he ages because he knows that his own time is nigh. So that's fascinating to think through. Is Putin the Og of Magog in Ezekiel 38? We don't know for sure, but he certainly fits a lot of the characteristics therein involved.
Well, I think what you're doing is highlighting a bunch of these different puzzle pieces. And for me, at least in my mind and heart, they're starting to come together and I'm understanding this picture. But I'm glad you brought up Israel because that's another question. Why does Israel care about the Ukraine invasion?
Well, first of all, interestingly, the president of the Ukraine, Zelensky, is a Jew. And interestingly, the prime minister of the Ukraine is a Jew. And the Ukraine provides 25% of the world's bread. It's called the breadbasket of the world. So therefore, Israel and a lot of other nations, like Egypt, gets 80% of its bread from the Ukraine. A lot of nations in Africa are fed by the Ukraine. So Israel's sitting there with its own export industry flourishing, but knowing that it has some reliance upon the Ukraine itself, but also the nations that are surrounding it are dependent upon the Ukraine for their food sources. So if they start getting really hungry and Putin overtakes the Ukraine, would those nations often mentioned in Ezekiel 38 that come against Israel one day, will they go to Putin in order to find their bread supplies, and will they use Putin's anger against Israel as a reason to then come against Israel themselves? So that's what's causing a lot of people a question. And Israel's kind of been in an interesting balancing act here. On the one hand, Zelensky's Jewish, the prime minister's Jewish. They need their resources in order to supply bread, etc., to them. But also, they've tried to have a balancing act keeping Russia as a friend. Now, why is that the case? Well, first of all, there are a lot of Russian Jews, and they care for them in the nation of Russia. A good number of those Jews have already immigrated to Israel, as have a good 11,000 immigrated from the Ukraine recently to Israel. And Israel has tried to have a good relationship with Vladimir Putin, but primarily through Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a statesman, who is a street fighter. You know, he lost his own brother at the invasion of Entebbe back when Idi Amin had those Jews captured in the airport in Uganda. And Netanyahu's own brother was lost in that freeing of the Israelites from that particular hostage taking. So he's a street fighter himself. He is a bit of a soldier himself. And there was always a respect between him and Vladimir Putin that kept the balance pretty good between Israel and Russia. Now we have Naftali Bennett, and nobody really knows what he's like. He's more of a statesman. And does Putin respect Naftali Bennett like he did Netanyahu? We really don't know. And the other reason that Israel is still cozying up to Russia is because Russia has a series of tanks and other artillery on the Syrian border right across from Israel itself. So Israel has a vested interest in wanting Russia to be friendly toward them. So you have, again, Naftali Bennett, a statesman, trying to balance a relationship with the Ukraine, a Jewish president, and with Russia, Putin, who has tanks on their very border. It's an interesting insight. Mm. And what also, Jen, we need to realize today with Israel is you can't really have the conflict of Ezekiel 38 that we've already referred to unless, first of all, there is a rebirth of the nation of Israel, which didn't exist after 70 AD and Rome came in and completely destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. But then on May the 14th, 1948, again, it was rebirthed as a nation to the surprise of the world, a nation that had never existed now exists. It's the only nation in the history of the world where that has been the case. Secondly, the return of the Jews to the homeland, prophesied in Ezekiel 36 and 37. You know, before we get to Ezekiel 38, you need to look at Ezekiel 36 and 37, and those prophecies foretell of the Jews returning to the homeland after a long captivity away from Jerusalem and Israel itself. That has happened. Millions of Jews from all over the world have returned to the homeland and are doing so in even greater numbers today as anti-Semitism seems to be increasing around the world. You also have the prophecy in Ezekiel 36:36 of the rebuilding of the ancient ruins, which talks about that in the end times, Israel will become a strong nation today, which is exactly what has happened. Mm-hmm. Israel is a forceful military power in that area with atomic weaponry that holds other nations at bay because of their strong military force. And finally, there is also the re-blessing, the restoration of the desert lands in Israel that became a desert, if you will, after the exiles of the Jews all over the world. Well, in their return now, since 1948, Israel is the third largest exporter of food and fruit, especially in the world.
Wow.
So there's been the reestablishment of those desert lands, as we see, was prophesied in Ezekiel 38. So it's fascinating to watch Israel become what the Bible says it will become in the restoration of that land. Israel is balancing this act between the Ukraine and Putin right now, and we just need to note that as an interesting sign of the time in biblical prophecy.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, and I love how you always encourage us to leave Jesus' second coming up in the air, because only the Father knows that, but to be aware of the signs of the times. And since we're on the topic of Israel, I have to ask, is Israel the epicenter of the second coming?
Oh,
and why?
Absolutely, Jen. I mean, if you read the Bible, that Israel is absolutely the epicenter of everything that happens in biblical prophecy. Why? Well, I think the first answer is God made it that way, that God chose to take that people out of all the peoples of the world to be his people. And he decided to put them into that land, the size of the state of New Jersey, to be his people, and therefore to work through them for his initial purposes, but also for his final purposes. And you know, God has the right to choose to do whatever he wants to do, and he chose to use Israel in this very significant way. And we have, interestingly, Israel being bordered by the very nations that Ezekiel 38 talks about will be the ones who will ultimately come against Israel. Not only Rosh or Meshach, which is another name for Moscow, Tubal, which is a city river that exists in Russia even today, you also have mentioned Iran in those verses. Now, it's not Iran, it's Persia. And interestingly, historically, Persia was always the name given to present-day Iran. Iran in 1956 was one of Israel's closest friends under the former Shah. Israel and Iran had three flights between their nations every single week, but it's when the Ayatollahs came in that that enmity started, and now Iran, along with Turkey and Syria, nations again real close to Israel or who border Israel, want the complete and utter destruction of Israel. They want Israel thrown into the heart of the sea. There's a bitter enmity that is there. Now, here's one other insight that I find absolutely fascinating is just recently from the borders of Iraq, there were several missiles fired across Israel into the United Arab Emirates. Now, that's fascinating. You have Iraq, probably influenced by Iran, firing those missiles into the UAE. You also have enmity with Lebanon and some other parts of the Mideast against the UAE as well. And you're going, why in the world? Well, those are Shiites firing rockets against Sunni Muslims. But here's what happened. Believe what you want to believe, but God oversees every leader in the world. And I believe that God ordained Donald Trump, President 45, to be the President of the United States when he was the President of the United States. Daniel 2, 20 and 21, that God raises up leaders, God abases leaders. I think number 45 was chosen by God. So what did Donald Trump do during his time period? One of the most astounding things is he brought about the Abraham Peace Accords. Now, who are those nations that are a part of that? Well, the major ones, the United Arab Emirates. And Iran and Iraq are so angry with the fact that they have made a peace accord with Israel and, in fact, have just recently announced they're going to invest $10 billion in Israel for their relationship to increase. It's only caused the hostilities of Iran and Iraq and Syria to be exacerbated against the United Arab Emirates as well. And what you're going to see, I think, as Ezekiel 38 unfolds is Dedan is one of the words used in the Bible to describe that part of the world. And in end times prophecies in Ezekiel 38, Dedan looks at all that's going on against Israel and basically just says this shouldn't happen. They don't come against Israel. The United Arab Emirates in Ezekiel 38 does not come against Israel. Wow. So I just find it again, as you try to read the signs of the time, look at what's going on, you do see Ezekiel 38 being lived out the way that it's perfectly described in God's Word.
Wow, this is fascinating. So fascinating. I know we don't have time to get into it today, but I cannot wait for you to get into where's America in the end times?
Well, that'll be a question that we'll ask next week, and I hope it will be a tease for people to come join us, along with some other things I want to look at as people continually ask me, are we living in the end times? And these are the answers I'm giving during this HopeCast. I'm David Chadwick with Jen Houston. Jen, again, thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me, David.
And all of you, hold on till next week. I look forward to talking with you then.